and welcome to this week's Expert HR podcast with me, Ellie Gelder. After a lengthy spell of warm weather, we're now moving into the cold and flu season, which inevitably leads to sickness absence. So it's an appropriate time to look at what trends we're seeing in relation to sickness absence rates. With me today to discuss findings from Expert HR's 10th annual survey on absence rates and costs is Senior HR Practice Editor Noelle Murphy. And staying with the theme of sickness absence, Employment Law Editor Sarah Anderson also joins us to give us her top 5 tips to effectively manage sickness absence. So Noelle, let's start by looking at sickness absence rates for 2015. How much time off did employees have during the year?
Well, Ellie, among the 660-odd employers we heard from, their employees had a median of 5.8 days sickness absence over the year and an average of 6.3 days.
And is there a reason you refer to the median number of days lost to sickness absence as well as the average?
Yes, we use the median because it's the midpoint in the range of absences, and as such, it reduces the impact of exceptionally high or exceptionally low absence figures. So this, we think, means that we have a more realistic and robust figure when we refer to the median.
Okay, and as you mentioned the range of absences, what was the range of absences among the organisations that were surveyed?
So the middle 50% of findings, which excludes the highest and the lowest figures, shows absence rates at between 3.6 and 8.5 days absence per employee.
And do we have any insights into trends in sickness absence over time?
Yes, we do indeed. We have been running this survey since 2006. That was the first time we started gathering data on sickness absence. So that means we have 10 years of good quality absence data. And what we've seen since we first started gathering data is that absence rates have been on a downward trend. I suppose that started to begin really when the recession hit.
So that was when people became less secure in their roles and less likely to take sick leave?
Yes, definitely. Employees seem to really be more interested in attending work. And if we look at the median number of days absence per employee in 2006, it stood at 8. In 2009, that was down to 6.8, and it hasn't been above 6 days sickness absence per employee since 2011.
I can see how it may have fallen during the recession, but why do you think the rate of sickness absence has continued on a downward trend?
Well, Ellie, I suppose like everything, there isn't one specific reason. We think that once organisations saw absence rates drop, it made it easier for them to proactively manage absence to maintain or further drive down the rate. A drop in sickness absence rate at that time will also have had a knock-on effect on absence triggers and targets within the organisation, lowering the base so that employers intervene earlier as targets rates fall in line with absence rates. There is also less acceptance within organisations of losing so many days per employee per year to sickness absence, much of which is ad hoc and sporadic, making it even more difficult to manage. So we know that measuring sickness absence and ensuring that employees know that it is being measured and acting on certain triggers can drive down sickness absence that is not genuine.
And is this in any way related to the growth in interest in HR metrics?
Yes, there's been a big move among HR practitioners towards people analytics, and we believe that this chimes with the downturn in sickness absence rates. Not only are HR practitioners and HR departments measuring sickness absence, but as part of their measuring, they're identifying hotspots and investigating any reasons for them, taking measures where possible to eliminate these kind of hotspot areas. The growing interest in people analytics and metrics also means that organisations are more likely to benchmark themselves against competitors and, where it is high, looking at the reasons why and possible measures to bring it down.
And we know, obviously, sickness absence can be costly to employers. So did your research uncover anything with regards to costs?
Yes, we did ask about sickness absence costs, although less than half of our respondents were able to provide us with information on the cost of sickness absence, which, of course, is telling in itself.
Why is that then, do you think?
Well, a lot of the feedback we get from HR practitioners focuses on their frustrations with the systems they need to use to access information on costs and applying costs to sickness absence. So we hear that the systems don't always talk to each other, which makes the gathering of accurate data difficult. A lot of our HR practitioners are still recording sickness absence, you know, manually. So gathering costs on top of that can be very difficult. And amongst those that did provide us with information, many told us that they felt they were having to underestimate the true cost of sickness absence because they were finding it very difficult to, or almost impossible, to factor in costs across the board.
So what cost did they quote for sickness absence?
Well, among those who provided us with information, the median cost of sickness absence is around £450 per employee. However, and this is no surprise, this is significantly higher among the public sector, where the median cost of sickness absence is around £820. Now, just to put that into context, this compares with median costs of sickness absence in manufacturing and production of around 520 and around 420 in private sector services.
So why do you think there is such a difference then between the private and public sectors?
Well, I suppose there are quite a few reasons for this. Firstly, employers in the public sector tend to be larger employers, many employing several thousand employees. We know that absence rates are higher in larger organisations. There's less impact on colleagues, so there's less guilt felt about taking sickness absence. Alongside this, many roles in the public sector tend to be public facing and as such carry a higher level of stress. And there's also no doubting that there has been in the past a culture of acceptance of sickness absence. Also, there's a greater likelihood of contractual sick pay being higher than the statutory amount within the public sector.
Some really interesting findings there. Does Expert HR have any findings on how employers are tackling long-term sickness absence?
Well, we conduct research into that area regularly, and actually we currently have a survey open on that particular topic. So if you go to the Expert HR homepage and click on the Take Part in Our Research box, that will take you to all of our live surveys, of which managing long-term sickness absence is one.
Thanks, Noelle. Where can our listeners find out more about the findings that you've just talked about?
So the survey is written up in full on the Expert HR site, and you can find that under survey analysis. We also produce all of our data in our benchmarking product, which you can also go to through the Expert HR homepage.
Thanks, Noelle. So we've looked at absence rates and the cost of absence to organisations, and we've heard that there has been a downturn in absence rates, which is great news for employers. But turning to you now, Sarah, what can organisations do to ensure that sickness absence rates continue to fall and thereby reduce the associated costs to employers?
Well, there are a number of positive steps that employers can take to successfully manage sickness absence. But my top five are, firstly, to accurately measure sickness absence in the organization. Secondly, to set appropriate sickness absence triggers and targets. Thirdly, to have clearly worded policies on sickness absence. Fourthly, to conduct return to work interviews. And finally, to encourage line managers to proactively manage absence among employees and give them appropriate training and support.
Okay, so let's look at those in more detail then. Dealing with your first top tip, tell us why measuring sickness absence is important.
Well, to be able to make sound decisions about what steps might help to achieve an improvement in employee attendance levels, an employer needs to have an understanding of the level and pattern of absences within its organisation. And they will get this through collecting accurate absence data and using it to measure the organisation's absence rate.
So measuring absence can be used to identify particular patterns of absence and any problem areas. What else can it be used for?
Well, measuring absence can also be used to devise plans to improve employee attendance, to establish trigger points for individual attendance reviews, and to set absence targets.
And that takes us quite nicely onto your second top tip, which is setting appropriate absence triggers and targets, which Noelle touched on earlier. So these are another good way of managing absence, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. Having an absence trigger system in place means that when an employee reaches a certain level of sickness absence, this should trigger the sickness absence procedure and an alert to the relevant line manager, ensuring that the absence can be investigated and managed.
And what are the other benefits of having absence triggers in place?
Well, an absence trigger system can also help managers to identify cases of sickness absence that are not genuine. So absence triggers can help deter some employees from taking sick leave where they aren't genuinely ill. And in some cases, absence triggers can also be the starting point for possible disciplinary procedures, although employers should take the individual circumstances of employees into consideration.
And what about absence targets? Can you just remind us, what are these?
An absence target is a certain level of sickness absence that an employer sets as a goal to reduce absence levels in its organisation.
And how can absence targets improve attendance levels at work?
Well, having an absence target in place will not of itself reduce absence, but it can act as a focus point for absence management tools and as a useful benchmark. And interestingly, ACAS has said that those organisations that set an absence target will have lower absence rates than those that do not.
But whether or not an employer decides to set an absence target for its organisation will obviously depend on the extent to which sickness absence is a problem.
Absolutely, that's right, Ellie.
So moving on to your third top tip then, putting in place a policy on sickness absence. Tell us more about this.
Well, it's really important for employers to adopt and implement a clearly worded sickness absence policy. And the reason why is because a sickness absence policy sets out what is expected of employees when they are sick and what will happen if they hit trigger points. And it covers various other issues such as return to work interviews. And this can all act as a deterrent to absences that are not genuine.
You mentioned there that a sickness absence policy could cover return to work interviews, and that was your fourth top tip, wasn't it?
That's right, Ellie. I cannot overstate the importance of return to work interviews as a tool in the effective management of sickness absence. In fact, in our 2016 survey on tackling absence effectively, improving how return to work interviews are conducted and what they discuss came up as one of the most effective means of affecting absence management.
So when should an employer hold return to work meetings?
That's really up to the employer. They could be done after every period of sickness absence or once an employee has reached a certain level of absence. But whatever the employer decides, they must be conducted consistently.
Tell us more then about the advantages of having return to work interviews.
Well, one of the main advantages of conducting return to work interviews on a consistent basis is that they give line managers an opportunity to identify the possible underlying cause or causes of frequent absences at an early stage and to support the employee to return to their previous level of attendance.
And any other advantages of return to work interviews?
There are so many, Ellie. Just to pick a few, they provide a forum for frank discussions about any relevant issues that may be contributing to the employee's absences. For example, an employee may have a large workload and this may be leading to stress. They also demonstrate to employees that their employer notices their absences and consistently implements a policy of monitoring and recording all absences. And a face-to-face meeting with a line manager, of course, makes it much more difficult for employees to lie about the reason for their absence, which discourages casual absence.
So a very effective absence management tool then. So let's take a look at your fifth and final top tip to employers then on the role of line managers in absence management. Tell us a bit more about this.
In our 2016 survey on tackling absence effectively, the role of the line manager stood out above all else as being key to successful and effective absence management.
And why is that?
Well, line managers are responsible for reporting absence and ensuring that employees are completing all relevant sickness forms so that the data collected is accurate. And when an absence trigger has been met, they are then responsible for taking action in accordance with their organization's absence policy, whether the appropriate step is reminding the employee of the absence policy or holding an absence review meeting.
So they play an essential role then in the absence management process.
Absolutely. And this is why it's really important for employers to provide their line managers with adequate training so that they develop the skills needed to manage absence effectively and have potentially difficult conversations around absence with their employees. And line managers should also be given clear signposts of where they can get support, for example, if they are faced with a condition that they aren't familiar with.
Thanks, Sarah. Those are five very useful tips for employers on managing sickness absence effectively. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, as you know, Ellie, I always like to finish on a positive note, and today is no different. Some of these tips we've spoken about will not only have a positive impact on employers' attendance levels and consequently their costs, but may also help employees feel supported and valued, and so increase employee loyalty and improve morale.
Thanks very much, Sarah and Noelle. Just picking up on Sarah's point there about training your line managers on how to deal with sickness absence effectively, a great starting point is to look at our line manager briefings tool. Just click on the time off work category and you'll see our briefings on short-term sickness absence and long-term sickness absence. That brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Ellie Gelder. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.